Our theme for a convention this year was to be like Jesus. And if we're going to say, and I say this with all love and respect, if we're going to tell everybody in the whole world, and we're going to come to church, and we're going to tell everybody that we're Christians, then we need to act like Christians. We need to be like Christ. Because if we're not being like Christ, then we're being hypocritical and the world doesn't see any change or any difference in us. So why in the world would they even want to be like us? Then we need to be authentic, right? That's a word used a lot nowadays. Because I really believe that people want to see people that are authentic, that believe and live out what they say. And in the Ten Commandments, it says this: do not take the Lord's name in vain. A lot of people think that's just a cuss word somebody says. And we hear that word quite often in this world. But really what that means is, if you're going to take the name of God and you're going to say, I am a child of God, I've been adopted by Jesus Christ into the family of God, then don't do that in vain. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't say that you're a Christian and then go live your life like you're not. It's as simple as that. We have to be a people that act like Jesus, because that's what He calls us to be. Be like me. He said it in the Great Commission. Before He ascended into heaven, He told His disciples, and it's one of, you know, it's my favorite scripture, and as NDI president of the district, I'm supposed to really push this as go make disciples, because that's who we are, right? Go make disciples. But that's not all there is to it. He said, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the things that I've taught you. In other words, what He's saying is, go do what I showed you to do. Simple as that. Be like me. Be like me. I've showed you, I've told you, I've taught you. You know, and there was a lot of times that the disciples, they would not get it. And there was even in Matthew, He says, they're like, Master, we don't get it. And He's like, are you guys this dull? It's just what He says. He says, are you guys just this dull that you don't get what I'm trying to say? I think about that. And, you know, there's a lot of things this world, you know, we see a lot of things going on in this world, a lot of things that have happened, just like in Ecclesiastes when Solomon says, everything that's been done has been done under the sun. You know, what happened yesterday is not the first time. It's not. It's a tragic thing that happened. Very tragic. But it's not the first time this happened. I don't want to get off point, but we heard a message the first night at NYI, kind of from a person that really didn't fit the narrative, really, of somebody that you would think that would preach a message for NYI kids, right, for youth. But he did a phenomenal job, and he's the outside, really, the recruiter for NBC, Nazarene Bible College. But he talked about his life in the church and how he was just a rambunctious kid, and really nobody wanted to mess with him because, you know, he was like one of those kids that are into everything and are hard to control. And he said, but there were some people in the church. There was a barber that attended his church that kind of just took him under his wing and kind of, you know, took him on trips. And I remember he was talking about, this guy was a barber, and he tells this story about how this guy was kind of strange, you know, but they liked him, you know, and he would take them places. And he said they stayed in this hotel, and they just bought one room for all the boys and this guy. I can't remember the guy's name. And he said when they got ready to go to bed, he's like, all of us boys are looking, we're not sleeping with him in that bed. So they made pallets on the floor, you know, and they said what was weird about it is he said this barber, for all these years, he said he'd cut my hair for all these years, member of the church he attended, he said he reached over and he just pulled his hair off and set it on the table. He said it terrified us. It just terrified them young boys, you know, but he tells this story about how this guy mentored him, you know, took a chance on him, spent time with him when nobody else really wanted to. You know, and he said, you know, Christians are weird. He said, we're a bunch of weirdos. And I related to that because I grew up in church all my life. You know, I grew up in a Pentecost. My grandfather was a Pentecostal pastor. I knew what weird was on every level. I can remember as a little kid, you know, watching some things, and I'm like, man, this is weird. You know, I relate to that. These people are nuts. And, you know, but I see people that are from other churches, some of the things that we do, just like praying up here this morning. You know, we come up and we anoint people and we pray. And for some people, it might be something weird. That might be strange. Because they're not used to that. Because you know what? Jesus says that, you know, you're a peculiar people. And some of us take that to a different level. You know, some of us are just a bunch of weirdos. And weirdos for Christ. And I said, you know, it just hit me. I was talking with Hammerhead. And that's Jim, if anybody knows. You know, he's my brother-in-law, so I call him Hammerhead and have ever since they've been married. But I was talking with him. I said, I want to get a T-shirt that says that. I'm just a weird pastor that loves Jesus. I'm just a weird guy, you know, because why? Because I'm different from the world. I'm different. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be left or right. I want to be looking right straight down the aisle just like Dr. Sandberg talked about. That's what Phineas Brzee believed, and we know, you know, we don't lean this way or lean that way. We look right straight ahead at Jesus because that's what's most important. We got to be like Jesus. We got to be who Jesus was, and that's not like the world. That's not like anything else. Now, we're a part of the world. We're living this world, but yet we're not of this world because we've been called to be like Jesus. Jesus was different. He came into the world when he met all the religious people of this world, you know, that they thought they were doing everything high and mighty. They dressed the part, they acted the part, they lived the part out, but not, you know, and Jesus was different than them. They didn't like that. He was weird to them. He was strange to them. He healed on the Sabbath. Can you imagine? He did good stuff on the Sabbath. That was weird to them, you know. And so he talked about a lot of that. He talked about how good mentors are, and it reminded me about some of the mentors in my life. And the people that mentored me the most was not the people that you would think would be. It wasn't my peers. It wasn't the people my age. The ones that mentored me the most was a bunch of retired old pastors and some lay people in this church. They're the ones that mentored me. Brother Mitchell, always bringing me books, always writing letters to me, always, you know, Sister Betty, always making phone calls. How you doing? 7 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday morning. Lee and I'd be like, oh, it's her. She's calling. Don't answer it. I'm not kidding. I mean, we're both like, don't answer it, grabbing each other, you know. Who is it? We, you know, of course, we didn't have caller ID then. We didn't have a clue who it was, but yet we knew. You know, so it was that anxiety about, well, it's probably her, but yet it may be something important. But then you answer it and it's like, hey, honey, just wanted to call you and invite you to church. Got Sunday school. You know, you're like, oh. Yeah, I didn't go to bed till 2 o'clock. I'm tired. Don't want to go. Miss Betty, you can't say no to Miss Betty. Never could. Okay, we'll be there. You know, she was a great influence in my life. You know, because why? Because she was like Jesus. That was kind of weird. You know, she was weird for Jesus. Brother Mitchell, I mean, I'm telling you, the guy just was a unique character. If anybody ever knew him, he was just a unique character. Bless his heart. He's gone on to Jesus now. You know, but I can just keep naming off people. Even today, there's a few people I could name off here today. I wouldn't want to embarrass them too much, but I consider them my mentors. They because they encourage me, they call me, and just as I'm mentoring other people, they're mentoring me. And that's the way it is when we're like Jesus. When we're like Jesus, there's people that are mentoring us as we're mentoring somebody else. Getting them closer to Jesus, keeping them on the right path. And that was really his message for that first night. It's so good. Man, it was so good. And then the second day in the morning, of course, was my portion of the convention. And I had 2 hours to tell people about be like Jesus, you know. And so, of course, I didn't talk for 2 hours, you know. But I had some really great people to help me. We did a skit, and it was so good. And then James Hicks, which is the author of the new 5 Core Principles leadership guide, he was there. I had Dr. James Hicks come, and he spoke about that. And he did a fabulous job on discipleship. And of course, I gave my report to the district and on the 5 Core Principles. And then this guy gets up. A guy that I'd met. Here's how I met Jeff Stark. Okay, I had heard him speak once before last year at NYI convention. So you know that I started this little hiking group that we did last year. I've had foot surgery. I'm ready to get back at that again. And so I made up this flyer. You know, my wife and I made this flyer up real nice. And it was, I mean, I was proud of this flyer. I'd looked it over a dozen times. I mean, more than that. And so I posted it on Facebook. You know, hey, we're going to do a hiking crew, you know, and all this. Well, then I get ding, you know, messenger comes up, and it's Jeff Stark from, you know, he's one of the coordinators at Olivet. He teaches at Olivet. So, and I'm friends with him on Facebook. So he ding, I hear this right here, and he says, hey, brother, just want you to know that you need to look over your flyer. And I'm like, okay. And he said, disciple is spelt with an I, not an E. Somehow, through all that, well, then he explained this story. He explained this to me. He told me this story about when he first got this job at Olivet. Now, he's a pretty big position here. You know, he's a teacher. You know, he coordinates. So anyway, he said he did this whole thing for the whole campus. Worked hard on it. All this big advertisement. And he said he had used the word there wrong. And he had already posted it out for the whole campus to see. And he said, one of his buddies, ding, hey, buddy, you need to look some things over. And he's like, oh, no. And so he said, I was hoping I would get it all taken down. He said, immediately, he said, I erased everything. And he said, but it wasn't quick enough. And the chancellor and some of the others, you know, they're like, hey, you know, they're getting on to him because that's a big deal. I mean, you know, the English language is a big deal too. You know, knowing when to use the right there is a big deal, you know, for some. Not for me, you know, for some. Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, like, you know, Gnat. Yeah, I mean, it's just a weird language. But anyway, Jeff gets up and he starts talking about, he gives this message about seeing Jesus, or seeing people. And he tells the scripture, he shares the scripture about when Peter, you know, after in the book of Acts, when Peter, he's walking up in the synagogue, the steps of the synagogue, and there's this guy that's been there for a long time. He keeps coming every day. And so he asks, he stops Peter and he says, hey, I need some help. He's begging for money. And Peter, and the scripture says, I think I've got it right here. I'm going to read this to you because it's so good. Peter, he heals this guy. He says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And at 3, in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who went in to the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John, John was with him, he said, about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get some things from him. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." But he emphasized the scripture, right here, these words, "Look at us." And he said, you know, this is the way Jesus, he said, can you imagine, he told us about his kids, he's got some little kids, and he said, you ever had your little boy or girl get up on your lap and grab your cheeks, you know, grab your cheeks and just look at you like, hey, look at me, look at me. He said, that's what Jesus does. Jesus wants us to see, not only see other people, but Jesus wants us to, He looks at people differently, doesn't He? That's what I'm trying to say. He sees people differently. People had walked past this guy for years, and probably John and Peter may have walked past him before. But something was different this day because they were starting to see like Jesus. And Jesus sees people differently. And Jesus is like that. I can think of how Jesus took me one time and he grabbed me by my cheeks and he says, "Look at me. I see you. Maybe the world doesn't see you like but I do. I see you. I see who you really are. I don't have silver or gold to give you, but I'm going to give you something. Eternal life is what I'm going to give you." I mean, he had such a powerful message. I wanted to share that with you this morning. Such a beautiful message. I know I'm probably missing. I don't want to spoil, but it is so good. And I want you guys to download that or go watch it. It is so good. It's on YouTube. You can go to D1 Naz's app. I'll even share it with you. It's on Facebook. But these messages that were... And then Carla... Kicking the tires. It's such a powerful thing, you know. And I do would like for you guys to watch that, and maybe we could share that. But over the next few weeks, she challenged us to be like Jesus, to see people like Jesus sees people, and to be the people that God has called us to be. You know, and there's a lot of hypocrites in this world, sure. There are. But He's calling us to be like Him. And that takes work sometimes. It's not always easy. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to say things wrong. So we're going to, over the next few weeks, I'm going to start navigating through who Jesus really is. I know there's so many scriptures in the where, you know, like the woman at the well where Jesus... You know, he goes to her and everybody else looked at her as just some lady that was a piece of trash. And Jesus didn't look at her that way. He saw her for who she was. It's like the lady that came in when he was at the Pharisee's house. You remember that story? And Jesus went to eat with a Pharisee and this lady come in and the Pharisee in his mind, he said, well, if he only knew who she was... He wouldn't let her do that. And Jesus saw her not as what the world saw her as, but as her child, as his child, you know? And that's, you know, that's what we need to see people. I've told this story many times, and when I was selling as a sales rep, I had Missouri territory. I had 17 counties in Missouri. And I used to travel back from St. Charles County, which is right there at the edge of St. Louis, all the way to Blytheville, Arkansas. Had a pretty big territory to cover. That was my territory. And another salesman had the northern territory in Illinois, which was in all the way up north of St. Clair, in that area up there, north of Belleville, Fairview Heights, up towards Greenville, you know, all back up in there. And so he had there was a phone call that came in that he wasn't able to get, and he asked me, he said, will you go and see this guy? He had a little bitty project, really wasn't a lot of money in it, and he's asked me to go up there, and I had to meet this guy at 6 o'clock at night because that's when he got off work. And I'm like, I didn't really want to go. I did not want to go. And so I drive. I committed to it. So I go meet this guy at 6 o'clock. You know, it's like an almost 3-hour drive up. Meet this guy. You know, wasn't sure that he was even going to buy anything or not, you know. And so out of my way, not supposed to be there at all. Okay? Not my territory. Not supposed to be there. On my way home, as nature calls, I thought, man, I've got to stop. So I just keep driving. I'll stop at the next place. I just keep driving, stop at the next place. So I finally get to Mount Vernon, and it's just like, I've got to stop here. That's it. I got to stop here. And so I'm like, I don't know where to go. And so I found myself going to McDonald's. So I wheel into McDonald's, and nature calls, I'm in a hurry. I get out of my car, I get to the door, and something stops me. And I'm not kidding you, something stopped me in my tracks. And I look to my left, and there's a guy sitting there, homeless. He's crying. He's hurting. And the Holy Spirit's like, go talk to this guy. True story. So I go over, and I was like, just like I have talked to many others in the past, you know, we worked in homeless ministry in Carbondale for years, and I knew the story. I knew what was coming. I've heard it 100 times. But the Holy Spirit was like, talk to this guy. So I go over and I talk to him, and I'm like, sir, what do you need? He said, what I need, you can't give. Simple as that. What I need, you can't give. I said, can I pray with you? I said, are you hungry? And he said, yeah, you know. And he started to tell me a story about how he had lost his job, and it was all because, I mean, he was dependent on alcohol and all this, you know. And I just, something came over me, and I began to see him. And this reminded me of that. I began to see him as Jesus saw him. Compassion came over my heart. And I prayed with the guy. And I told him, I pray that God finds him a job and that he gets, you know, gets better. And so I said, I'm going to go inside. And I went in and got some food for him, and I came back out and I gave him this food. And then I went back to my car. Before I could shut the door, there was a guy that rolled down his window. In the vehicle sitting next to me, had tears running down his face. And he goes, I just watched you do what you did. And he said, what's going on with this guy? And I explained to him. I said, well, he's lost his job. He's out of a job. And he said, he's hurting. He needs some money. He can't, you know, he doesn't know what to do. And this guy's crying, and he's got this brace on him. And he said, I got hurt a couple weeks ago, and he said, I got a farm just outside here, and he said, I need some help. He said, I've been looking for somebody to help me, and he said, I can't find anybody that's willing to help. And he said, I've even got a little pole barn that's got a little room in there that has a bed and stuff in it. He said, I could let him sleep there. And then I said, well, can I pray with you about this? And we prayed together. Beautiful moment there. And he said, nobody's ever did this. He said, I don't know. He said, what's happening here? And I said, I don't know, but God's doing something right here for you and for this man here. Put you guys together. And I happen to be in the middle of it. And so this guy, I don't know what happened after that, but I continued to talk to this guy about church. He hadn't been in church in a long time. And he said, you know, I'm going to call my pastor tomorrow. And it's such a beautiful story how God, these divine moments, and I know somebody else shared a divine moment with me this morning, just such a beautiful thing. But it's just seeing Jesus, or seeing people like Jesus sees people. You know, and Jesus, it was, I mean, the Holy Spirit used me that day. I didn't do anything special. I am nobody special. When I experience things like that, I know Jesus is real, and He's real. And I want to do all that I can for Him. I know I've shared that story before. But I just want us to be a church. I want us to be a people that are like Jesus, that see people like Jesus sees people. Because there's people in this community right here that we walk past every day that people don't see them. They overlook them and they're hurting. They've got problems in their life, just like many of us have problems in our life. And people just walk by us and it seems like they don't even care. And I just want us to be a people. I want to be a person who sees people like Jesus sees people. He sees them with love. He sees them with mercy. He sees them with grace. You know, there's so many cultural things that we could talk about and debate over. And you know what? People are hurting. They don't need people to be mean and hateful and see them like the world does. They need people that sees them like Jesus does, with love and compassion. And we need to learn to do that. And I mean it. We got to learn to do that.